welcome back to Gracie Meets. I've invited Mr. Chris Solomon back onto the show today. Last time he was on the show, he and I talked about applying for a job. But this week, we're going to be talking about interviews.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me back, Gracie.
So, let's jump right into this. Is there anything a teenager can do to make themselves the, in quotes, better hire?
That's an awesome question, Gracie. I'm glad you asked that. So, we're going to look a little bit at marketing. So, when a company has a product to sell, how does it generate buzz for that product?
Marketing.
You got it. So, when you're applying for a job, though, you're the product. I hope that makes sense.
I'm a product?
Well, not exactly. In other words, from the moment you begin looking for a job, you're working. Your product is you. So just like any company, you have to market your product. But how do you market or advertise yourself to generate buzz? I like to call this the attractive traits model. Now, I'm not an expert, but I have held quite a few jobs in my day, as well as being a manager in the military. So I've seen examples of people who have done the right things and unfortunately the wrong things. We want to do the right things and make the manager take a chance on you, especially when you are a total unknown. In fact, we want the manager to take the chance on you over all other people who may be applying for that same job. So we have to market ourselves to make us the more attractive hire. We can do that by following the attractive traits model.
Oh, I see. So what kind of attractive traits would a manager want to see?
All right, when a manager is looking for someone to hire, you want to appeal to some of the traits that are demonstrated by successful employees, right? There are five traits that everyone, I don't care who you are, everyone can demonstrate to help make themselves stand out. And they are punctuality and dependability, pride in yourself and your work, professionalism, confidence, and lastly, attentiveness. I listed all these in this order for a reason. They flow with a sort of timeline of the interview process.
Those seem like some great traits that I feel would get anyone's attention, like especially at school as well, because these things all like have some great things that people like. So, and you also mentioned them in an order, so why don't we start with punctuality and dependability?
Okay, so this one is such a hot topic with employers. If they hire someone, they are depending on you to be there to fulfill your role in the workplace during your scheduled shifts. How can they be sure you're going to fulfill your end of the agreement? Well, the easiest way is to show them from the very beginning. There was a saying in the Air Force, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. So this is basically saying leave early to arrive before your interview time. 10 minutes is a good goal here. If you arrive 10 minutes early, the manager will see that you're punctual and it shows that they can depend on you to be there for your shifts. Now, could a person who is less than punctual or dependable show up early? Sure, and it happens more than employers would like to admit, unfortunately. But you're not one of those people, right?
Right. So what about pride? I've heard of pride before, but not really in a good way. So how would this be a good trait?
All right. So with pride, there are two areas, and they are both super easy to show to a prospective employer. Pride in yourself and pride in your work. This is as simple as dressing for success. You represent yourself and your family the second you walk out your front door. If you dress in baggy pants and a ripped t-shirt, while it may be trendy, it's not the image that companies want to portray to their customers. Just as when you strap on that iconic Chick-fil-A red polo and oval name tag, you represent that manager, that store, and in fact, that whole corporation. Don't get me wrong, the dress code at, for example, Hot Topic versus the dress code at Walmart versus the dress code for the U.S. Air Force are miles apart in nearly every aspect. Again, like I told you on our last visit, the old saying here is dress for the job you want, not the one you've got. If you want to work at Hot Topic, you may dress a little different for that interview than you would if you were interviewing for a position at Walmart. A good rule of thumb, though, is with all of them, remove any multiple piercings. Guys should remove all piercings altogether. Cover any tattoos. Maybe you do your hair so it doesn't look like you just rolled out of bed, etc. Again, I must stress that while these things may be trendy and socially acceptable at school, They don't always translate to an employment world. Don't be afraid to ask if you're unsure. The same goes for pride in your work, too. Be proud of what you've accomplished. If you're proud of something, you don't want to hide it, right? So far, your work has been limited to school or sports or your musical instruments. All these things can be used to show that you have pride in your work. Player of the week, outstanding ratings in a solo competition, straight A students, all these things you should be very proud of. And hey, they may actually help you land a job.
So we should put ourselves out there, but not boastfully?
Yeah.
How do you explain professionalism?
Okay, so we could say that all these traits discussed so far make up professionalism, honestly. But to me, there's one extra thing here, and it's insanely simple, too. One thing that anyone can do to show someone they are professional. Make eye contact. If you can make eye contact with a manager during your job interview, arguably one of the most stressful situations a high schooler could be in, the manager can reasonably assume that you will do the same for their customers. You can put aside any fears or stressors you have to make that eye contact. Remember, you represent the manager, the store, and the corporation when you're wearing their uniform. Now, you don't want to lock into a death stare or an awkward gaze, but making eye contact shows you are there and listening and ready to respond when needed. It's pretty easy, right?
Yeah, I have trouble making eye contact with people because, it's awkward. But I've learned not to look straight into the person's eyes, but instead look at their nose or their forehead to help ease some of that anxiety. And I feel like confidence also has a lot to do with that, too.
So what do you need to do to build confidence? It's one word, and it's really simple, and that's practice. That's right. Just as you gain confidence in multiplication by drilling math facts, and you gain confidence in you can gain confidence in interviewing by practicing with mock interview. And the cool thing about this is anyone can help you. Your friends, your siblings, whoever. Honestly, even yourself in a mirror is good here. They taught us that in the military. Look in the mirror and give a speech. Look in the mirror and do a presentation that you have to do. It's practice. Just know, though, you will never be 100% ready for an interview. Even being 36 years old, interviewing with the current company that I'm with, I was nervous. The cool thing about this, though, the manager knows you're nervous, too. So don't stress out about being nervous.
I remember I had to interview to get into the athletic training program at school, and it was my first real interview for something that I wanted to do. So it was very nerve-wracking, but after practicing for a couple of days, I felt pretty prepared. One of the things I knew the coach was looking for was attentiveness, and I know that that's one of your attractive traits that you've mentioned. So if you want to explain that.
Okay, Gracie, this is the last one. That's attentiveness. Again, super simple thing here. Ask questions. If you have a question, ask it. Now, don't just ask a question to fill time. I'm sure most of us probably heard from our parents at one time or another, you talk just to hear yourself speak. Well, okay, I did anyway. Any question you ask in an interview should be purposeful and on topic. So in our case here, about the job you're interviewing for, it's never wrong to ask questions for clarification. Say, for example, you don't fully understand a question that was asked. For me, I recall I was asked when I had to work out a problem between coworkers. I had to stop and clarify if they meant between me and a coworker or if they were asking how I handled helping two coworkers work through a problem they were having. I had done both, but I wanted to make sure I was giving the answer they wanted to hear. I didn't want to waste my time or theirs simply because I didn't understand a question they were asking me. A lot of interviews even end with the manager asking, "Do you have any questions for me?" This is a great time to ask something on topic. Again, on topic. And a lot of experts say you should have a question ready to ask here. Things like, what's the work environment like? Does the company offer upward mobility? Things like those show you're interested. And the second actually shows you're looking to stick around. Can you say dependability? Asking something like, so when do I start, isn't what they're looking for here, though. You want to be confident, but you don't want to be cocky.
I see. How about an example for the listeners to better understand?
All right. Let me preface this. I am in no way affiliated with this place. I just want a milkshake, and I learned something about this place that I didn't know. So I'm going to use them in this completely fictitious account. So let's say you're a manager, right? You have a position at the best milkshake shop in Texas. Apparently, as I just found out, this is Chill, the milkshake bar in Spring, Texas. Congratulations if you're listening. And you have two applicants. It's a high stress being the manager at Chill since you know it's the best in Texas, which is a pretty big deal. So you look over the applications and the two applicants are alike in seemingly every way on paper. What do you do?
I would ask them in for an interview.
That's right. Time to separate the wheat from the chaff, as they say. So the day of the interview arrives, you walk out of your corner office and see one of the two people sitting there. And as you're walking out, the other comes running in nearly out of breath. So while we're doing this, I want you to remember the attractive traits model. What's the first thing you see, Gracie?
Well, one of the people was there early and the other person came in right as the interview was supposed to start.
That's right. Candidate one was on time. Candidate two technically wasn't. Yeah, they got there right at the buzzer, but could there be a valid reason? Sure. Maybe he had a flat tire and needed to change it. Maybe he stopped and revived a baby seal who got hit crossing the street. The manager will ask and will judge candidates based on their response. So right now, it's 1-0 in favor of candidate one. So next, as the manager, you start to compare both candidates since they're both in front of you. Candidate one is dressed in blue jeans and a polo shirt, hair nicely done, and all the clothes are wrinkle-free. Candidate two is dressed in pajama bottoms, a t-shirt, and a beanie. Who made the best impression?
Well, I would say probably candidate one, because they're wearing nice clothes and look presentable.
Okay, so 2-0 in favor of candidate one. And honestly, candidate two would be lucky to even be invited in the interview room at this point. For the sake of the example, though, let's continue. So as you interview both candidates, you notice candidate one gave you a firm handshake upon being greeted, well-spoken, makes eye contact with you, while candidate two tried to give you an awkward high five on the way by you into the room, slouched in his chair and is looking out the window, looking down at the carpet, drawing circles with their foot. You know, just it's not your normal nervous movement. And he almost seems disinterested. So how do you score it?
Candidate one seems to be doing much better in this race.
Yep. Unfortunately, it isn't going well for candidate two. Honestly, I'd be asking candidate two other questions, like if they're okay, if they needed something, maybe even trying to get to the bottom of an underlying issue they have. But that's a topic for another day. The candidates are just so far apart right now to be so comparable on a paper application. As the interview went on, you noticed that candidate one was eager and asking questions about making milkshakes, normal duties on the shift, he might be asked to work, what Chill did to become even the best in Texas. Meanwhile, candidate two's interview lasted about 3.2 minutes and consisted of him giving straight yes or no answers, even to the question, what's your favorite ice cream topping? He simply said, yes. He really is in a downward spiral here. Should I even ask what the score is?
No. But it seems like candidate two lost his chance since the second scenario.
Poor guy has done himself in. You almost feel bad for him in a way. He is tragically lost at this point. Finally, as the interview is concluding, you ask the candidates if they have any questions. Candidate one asks, so if hired, what's one thing you think I'll enjoy most about working here? Candidate two finally asks, you have a phone so I can call an Uber? I have a job interview across town and my cell battery died. You know, I couldn't end it without one more hopeless example of a guy that just can't get out of his own way. It's obvious that this is probably the most extreme example of a good versus a bad interview performance that could possibly ever happen. But it's fun to illustrate in a sort of comical way. See, all these things are so simple to do, and each one helps you to market the product that is you to prospective managers. Will following the attractive traits model alone ace your interview? Not at all. But what it will do is help you feel a bit more at ease going into an interview room. I mean, some of you might never have been there before, so anything is going to help. So why not take these five things, these five simple things, just take them totally off your mind. So as you can see, the attractive traits model follows that timeline. You're asked to interview, you arrive early, dressed well, you make eye contact, and answer some questions, then you pay attention and ask questions if needed. Nice and logical flow from start to finish.
Those five tips were definitely helpful. Up until now, I didn't even really know that there were attractive traits that a manager would look for other than overall hard work and presentability. Thanks for helping.
Thanks for having me again. I hope you all gained a little bit of an idea on how to market yourself to a prospective employer. I look forward to coming back and talking to you again sometime. Now let me run and get a milkshake.
Mr. Chris gave great tips about what interviewers look for when you interview for a job. He talked about 5 different things managers look for, which were punctuality and dependability, pride, professionalism, confidence, and attentiveness. He also mentioned the age-old phrase, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. Your future boss wants to portray the best image possible for their business. So if you follow these simple tips, you'll most likely be the best applicant on both paper and in person. No normal person could be confident and attentive, but then again, show me a normal teenager. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. If you like Gracie Meets, subscribe so you can listen every time a new episode is dropped. And follow Gracie Meets on Instagram @gracie.meets. Tune in next Saturday for an informative interview with an air traffic controller.